Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
I want to talk today about something that's kind of a knee-jerk reaction that a lot of people have, a lot of photographers have, and I know that I have, so I'm hoping that this pertains to some of you too. And that is that I've returned from this two-month trip with roughly 3,500 raw captures, and I'm starting the process of going through them to see what I have. And the first thing I did, which is what I always do when I get back from a trip, is sort of count up the number of potential projects I think I may have gathered while I was out and about. And the first blush review would seem to indicate I have about 43 different small projects. Small meaning from 10 to 20 images. But it didn't take me long to realize the knee-jerk response that I had made to all of those images, which was location-based projects. And there's a real problem with location-based projects that shows up in a few weaknesses that aren't particularly obvious until you get to really thinking about project-based photography. This kind of photography is what I generally characterize as portrait of a place. So the way it usually works is you're traveling out and about, as I've been doing for the last couple of months. You stumble across, or maybe you target a particular location that you want to photograph in. You go there, you photograph up a storm, and you think, well, great, I've made 50, 100, 200 images, whatever, and I hope to edit that down to the 5, 10, 15, 20 best ones that I can turn into something, a chapbook, a PDF, a portfolio, whatever. But basically, when you look at the content of what that is, it's portrait of a place. The premise of which, of course, is I've traveled to someplace really interesting, and you haven't. And so I'm going to share my photographs with you in the form of more or less a travelogue. Here's an interesting place that you haven't seen, and I'm going to introduce you to it. And that travelogue becomes the basis, the content basis, for sharing those images. But this is where we run across the first of the problems with location-based projects. And that is, over time, as your photographic career continues to grow, you find yourself craving more and more exotic locations. Because the dopamine hit that we get from being satisfied with having produced something photographically starts to require a more exotic location to get the same sort of excitement. And so what I often see in photographers is they start off their photographic career by photographing sort of close to home, the nearest national park, the nearest bit of landscape that's kind of fun and different and not at all ordinary. And then they go to more exotic places, maybe Yosemite, maybe Yellowstone. And then the next thing you know, they're going overseas and then down to Antarctica and Namibia and Nepal and Iceland. And the more exotic locations become more challenging, not only from an expense point of view, but from a travel point of view. But essentially, the photographs remain the same. It's all based on portrait of a place. It's just the place is getting more and more exotic. And ultimately, I'm not sure that leads anywhere artistically other than a whole bunch of really fun travel, which is a good reason to do it. But on the other hand, it's not the only methodology of pursuing photography from a fine art perspective. The other problem that's related to that is that these kinds of projects can easily become sort of what I did on my summer vacation. They remind me of that old Jackie Vernon comedy routine about showing slides of our vacation pictures to our friends and family, much to their boredom. And I think part of the reason is because portrait of a place in that context ends up being sort of an educational program rather than an emotional revelation or discovery. That is to say, here's an exotic place that I've been, and here's a little of the history of it, or a little bit of a geology lesson, or something about the wildlife or the culture of the people who were there. It's an educational tool. Think National Geographic, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the same as doing something that is emotionally based and artistic, based on the emotion of the moment and the capturing of that emotion and the sharing of that emotion. Instead, it becomes sort of factual, educational, like I say. And if you've done this for decades, let's say, what you have is a whole bunch of little educational components. Here's what I learned when I went to point A. Here's what I learned when I went to point B. Here's pictures that show all of that. And that seems to me to be an entirely different sort of thing than what traditional arts do. For example, music. We don't listen to music for its educational value. We connect with music on a different level, on an emotional level. And the more deeply we connect with the music on an emotional level, the more we enjoy the music. Same thing can be said of a novel. We might learn something when we read a novel, but its primary purpose is to entertain us, is to generate some sort of emotional response from the plot, from the character development, from how we feel about the situation and the people that we read about. And I think you could do that same kind of analysis in all the other artistic media. They're not factual, although they may contain facts. The purpose of the art is not a discussion of statistics and facts. It's about sharing and connecting, which is an entirely emotional response. Which brings me to the next challenge about portrait of a place and location-based projects. And that is, they have a tendency to slide into something that is very specific. I went to this specific place, and I made these photographs at that specific place, which means that it's about the specific place. It's not about a universal understanding or connections between things that are not universal. How can I explain this? A couple of weeks ago, I was down photographing Shiprock in New Mexico. Now, I could have done a whole project about Shiprock because there's certainly a lot to photograph there, and it's a beautiful place, and the light was fantastic, and etc. And that would be a location-based project all about Shiprock. But there's a problem with that that relates to the educational aspect of that kind of project, and that is, I don't know all that much about Shiprock. I'd have to learn about the geology, about the cultural implications, about, plate tectonics and magma flows and the history of the people who have lived near Shiprock, maybe even its history in photography. There's a lot that I could discuss about Shiprock in a project that I simply don't know, because my response to Shiprock wasn't educational. It was instead emotional. Well, what was emotional about Shiprock? It's this giant rock in the middle of the desert. It had beautiful light, wonderful clouds. It was just an inspiring place. But it wasn't inspiring because of the history or because the geology that I didn't know. It had something to do with being a tiny human being on this magnificent planet. And so one of the thoughts that I had when I was there photographing Shiprock was, rather than doing a project about Shiprock, maybe I could do a project about big rocks, including things like Half Dome in Yosemite, or another location I went to a couple of weeks ago, the Snowy Range, west of Laramie, Wyoming. There's something about mountains and big rocks and how they reach up into the sky, and how they make us feel like little tiny beings on this planet. That's what my emotional response was to Shiprock and to so many other rocks, including the Ten Sleep Canyon in Wyoming and Devil's Tower, another giant hunk of rock. They all have something together, but by putting all those various locations together in a project, you can easily see it's not a location-based project. but rather an emotional-based project that ties all of these giant rocks together. I guess to try to put a term to it is that a project about Shiprock or any other location is that it's specific to that location. And the viewer's interest to that project is going to be tied to their interest in that specific location. But that's an entirely different thing than a universal response. So photographing Shiprock as one of many big rocks that I could put together in a project says something a bit more universal about big rocks, no matter where they're found, no matter what country they're found. And suddenly I could go to the Faroe Islands, and those images would fit in that project because it's a universal project, not a specific project about the rocks at the Faroe Islands. I don't think there are any hard and fast rules other than the fact that a project about a specific place is different than a project about a universal emotional response. And that it's so easy, like I say, a knee-jerk reaction to just make a project about a place because we photographed a place. It's a little more difficult to take those photographs and find a universal connection, a thread that perhaps comes from previous work. So here's another way to think about it. When I look through my Lightroom catalog, if I look at my images of Shiprock, New Mexico, as a specific project about a specific location, that disconnects it from all the other images that are in my Lightroom catalog. Now my project can only consist of images from Shiprock, New Mexico, because that's the subject. On the other hand, if I take the universal approach and think, no, what I'm interested in is big rocks, then all of a sudden, all the other images of big rocks in my Lightroom catalog are candidates for this potential project that is not specific, but universal. The specific project dismisses threads from all my previous work, and there's probably no bigger indictment of that than Instagram, which really discourages those deeper connections because it emphasizes the individual image over the project. One of the things that I've experienced by trying to think more universally about my projects is that it takes a little time. I don't always remember all the images that I have in my Lightroom catalog, and I may have to go on a search for them. I may have to do some keywording. I may discover one or stumble across one accidentally when I'm doing something else, looking for something else in the Lightroom catalog and go, oh, look, here's a picture of a big rock I completely forgot about that could go together with all my other rocks. That takes time to develop those kinds of projects. And taking a single image of someplace like Shiprock and posting it on Instagram not only discourages those connections, but short-circuits those connections because once you post the Instagram image, then it's easy to stop looking for those connections. In essence, this train of thought is that there is a problem with location-based projects in that they tend to be specific, factual, and reportage, rather than an emotional response that connects us to disparate locations that have common emotional responses. The search for these threads in our Lightroom catalogs is complicated because probably in our Lightroom catalog, things are either organized by location or by date, which is probably going to put things together by location either way. But yet what we're searching for, if we let go of location-based projects, is something that explores emotional connections, connections of mood, connections of thought, connections that don't necessarily come from a specific location or a specific kind of image. There's all kinds of reasons to do location-specific projects, and certainly a case could be made that Shiprock is such a fantastic thing that a project that explores that thing is going to be pretty interesting. But do you see the risk about where that leads? That the magic in the photograph or the magic in the project comes from the location. So we have to go to those exotic locations in order to make a project. And that will tend to encourage us to discount the non-magical locations. We're constantly on the search for that spectacular thing to photograph or to turn into a photographic project, which discourages us from looking at common things, at ordinary things, and exploring them more deeply. I think there's a lot to think about here in the differences between location-based projects and some of the weaknesses that occur from that kind of thinking and emotionally-based projects that seem to me, anyway, to be closer to the spirit of art-making than the factual description of a place we happen to visit and know something about. There's a difference between a project about the spirit of mountain climbing and a project that's about Mount Everest. They're both valid ways to approach a project. They both have the potential to make a powerful emotional connection. But the one about Mount Everest seems to run the risk of becoming factual, descriptive, specific, educational. Those are the kinds of words that come to mind when I think about a specific location or a specific thing that becomes the subject of the project. I'm not going to stop doing location-based projects, but I would hope that this train of thought can sort of present us with an alternative, to give us a different way to think about putting together groups of images for whatever size project we're doing, a Seeing in Sixes, a trilogy, a book, a PDF. What is it that ties all the images together? Is it that we happen to be there at a time and place? Or is it that we happen to have a common emotional response to a certain kind of subject, which are all photographed as specific places and times, but are held together by something other than that specific location and time when we happen to be there to photograph? I love the way this train of thought opens up the entire collection of our Lightroom catalogs to putting together projects, to looking for threads that bind images together beyond location and time. I've said for a long time now that the challenge of being an artist is responding to the world. But a response to the world does not have to be a specific location at a specific time. And with that in mind, I think it opens up all kinds of creative ways to put images together that create photographic projects that are more interesting than what I did on my summer vacation.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.